Now, darling, thank you. I've got some of this sweet thing. Okay. So as I said before, that this was the essence of Master's speech, and the entire speech will appear in Satsang Desh, and you may enjoy it to your heart's content. Now, I'm going to give you some of the highlights of events as they happen. Now, this is the strangest thing, because when I was on that plane, I had made a promise to myself. It was very funny. Because all these years, every time I went, I had brought home loads of material. I even wrote a book, Out of the Mouth of God, The Unpaid Counselor and His Travels Through the UP District. And I think I read it through once in the satsang. And I came home with pamphlets, with different things, with writings and some tape recorders and things. This time I said, Lo, when we go this time, I don't even bother with anything. I don't want to see a pencil. I don't want to see a piece of paper. I don't want to see nothing. All I want to see is God Guru's eyes. I only want to look into the twin jewels, and I want to eat them up and drink them up. And I want to be absorbed. And if you see me disappear, you know I'm in the belly of the Sadhguru. I don't want to be anything. I don't want to go anyplace. I don't care if we don't care for the world anymore. It's going to hell with his blessings. It's not going to be here much longer. Everybody's running around, eat, drink, and be merry, and kicking up their heels, and putting on their party clothes, and running out, when the light of the world has left them. He hasn't left us, but he has left them, because they are still the walking dead. Anyone who has no connection with the Sadhguru will not get any connection. There is no one to give them a connection. They might go maybe first plane. There might be somebody who can connect them to the first plane. Maybe. I don't know. I have no knowledge of this. The master may be able to take them from there. As he is God, he can do anything he pleases. Now, this is August 9th, and this, we made a very dear friend. Master brought us, many of us were there last year together. And it was kind of like this, you know. I don't like the way he wears his hair. That's a ridiculous thing, you know. Childish. You see how childish? We don't come as like a child. We come childish to Master. When he says, come as a little child. This time, we all came together and we floated as though we were all connected. That there were no difference between one and the other. And such love emanated out of everybody. And such love, we were all serving one another. And we had Cuckoo's old house, Loie and I. And it became like a little ashram in there, you know, because we had to have our quarters, and then there were thousands of the dear Indian people coming in now. So I would have a big pot of soup going, and we would go out at midnight and buy fruit so that it would be there during the day, and the kids would come in. I'm hungry, Mom. Mom, can I have something to eat? Yes, here it is. Come on, everybody, sit down and eat, you know. Every time we got in the shower, Mom, are you there? Boom, went all the clothes again. This happened 15, 20 times a day. I'm not exaggerating, you know. And India's very sticky and hot at that time. It was a 90 inside the room. 90 inside a shaded room. Can you imagine what it was in the sun? She took the thermometer out, and it crawled up to 120. She brought it in the house because it was going to burst. And yet we were all sitting out there listening to Master. When Master would give his discourses, like a cooling breeze, all of a sudden it would just wash over us. And everybody would say, what's cool? I don't understand why it's so cool, you know? Power of the God Guru working through all things, you know, all creation. So this was Charlie Fulcher, who we had known through correspondence, but we hadn't known personally, and who we had come to love very dearly, as a very true friend and an ardent lover of the God Guru. And Master gave him so much darshan. Master would sit, you know, like this, and Charlie was sitting here with his tape recorder, and Charlie wanted to sit on the floor. But Master said, no, come on, sit this side. Come on, sit this side. And Charlie would sit there, and he would ply Master. He said, come on, Master, don't you have any questions now? And he'd ply Master with all these questions. And Master would look at him with such love and a twinkle in my... Oh, yes, Master would go, So, beloved said to Charlie, he says, I hope you'll come again. And then Charlie replied, I hope so. So Beloved said, well, I may have to go as I am in the twilight of my life. And Charlie repeated, well, we both may have to go. He didn't understand what Master was saying. So Master chuckled and smiled. He said, yeah, yeah. He says, something like that. But his face, was it not something? To see, he looked like a baby cub lion. His face took on that childish expression, you know, like a child. And it looked like a little lion cub just coming into the full mane, you know? So beautiful, not like an old, decrepit lion, but beautiful, like he was just getting the stretch and going, you know? So then there was this boy who took very, very ill. He was helping building the Western houses and going to stay on to build the meditation center. So incidentally, don't let me forget to say something on the end. If I do, somebody remind me about the tithing and the meditation center, you see. So the Western houses are coming along, and John helped up there counting bricks and seeing that the workers were doing their work and not sleeping under a pile of dung somewhere, you know, and procrastinating. Well, he took very, very ill. And he got this like immediate dysentery. So he had to leave. Now, he didn't know it. We heard about it. And I'll tell you how the lovely. So we heard that he didn't have a ticket home, but that he would have to go overland. And I says, my God, good old, what if he passes off in some foreign country? He won't be able to take it. He won't be able to take the food. He won't be able to take the voice. Who wants to, and we'll all get together and buy his ticket home. And you know, before I knew it, I was sitting at the table. They were going, running, throwing checks at me, money, German marks, all kinds of things. So I says, well, whatever has to be put, Lowy and I'll be very happy to put the rest. Don't worry about it. We're going to see that he gets home. Now, he didn't know anything about this. So somebody in the asylum says, well, don't you think he ought to pay it back? And I says, why? Did he ask for it? He didn't ask for us to send him. But I'm sure that this boy will be most happy to pay back. As for me, what does Master teach us? That when another brother or sister or someone needs help and you have the means, you ought to come to their aid. See? So I says, as for me, I don't want it back. That's my tithing as far as I'm concerned. So the other said, well, me too. Another one. Me too. Well, we don't want it. So I says, all right. Then we'll tell him. If he does have any of it, to send it to Master for his children in India. And that will take care of everything. Now, we had a hard time because this man was going to get his ticket. His ticket would have been $800. And so this man... traveling agent said he could get it for 580. Yeah, about 580. And we said, fine. If you can do that, all well and good. So they, Lowy, myself, and for Isabel Blanca, you here? Isabel? Yeah. Well, you were one, and Virginia Vidic. And little baby, Joni. So we all went. And Jim, he was the older man, so we told him, well, you got your harem around you, see? And he was laughing. He's 6'6", so can you imagine? And we're all small except Isabel. Isabel was little, oh, yeah, and Virginia was tall. But he's got all these little shrimpies with him, you know? So you can imagine how tall everybody was looking at Jim sitting there, you know? So I said, after our meal was finished, I said, just a moment. I'm going into the ladies' room. And then I said, someone said, no, don't go now. You better go out the door. So I says, oh, no, I changed my mind. We're going out. And as I put my hand on the cab, around the bend comes the motorcycle with this traveling agent and John on the back. Astro! We knew we'd find you here. They told us we wouldn't find you. You know what kind of place looks like? Well, you think you're going to find anybody there once they're there? I should say not. But the master power working. I said, my goodness, we're glad to see you. What are you doing here? Well, we came down to see you. We thought you'd be coming. coming out of the restaurant. So I said, well, here we are. I said, I almost went into the ladies' room. You would have missed us. Because they were just coming around the bend, and they would have gone on and gone around, and then we'd have gotten our cab and gone on back to the ashram. They would have missed us. So we went. He says, well, follow us. Do you have the money? I said, yes, I got the money with me. All right, then we'll go over here and we'll fix it. Then we went to the bank. And the bank says, well, they don't take this type of thing and that type of thing. So we had to change all the money. We changed it. Thank God, Guru, I had quite a bit of American dollars on me. So we got it that way. And we says, all right, now what is everything? So we stayed there, and what do you think happened? We spent 2.5 hours in the bank. Then we had to go across the street and spend another hour. But it was well worth it. We thought, well, who cares? We were so happy. It was just beautiful. All right, we get home. We said, we must get home for evening darshan. You know, we have to get darshan to Massa. Well, because nobody can miss that. So we get home to the ashram, and we go up to see Master, and we're upstairs, right? We go up because Master now is not coming down, is not walking the steps, and he's lying on his woven bed, and he says, well, how was your day today? So I started to say, well, we had such a he says, no, 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 I know you, that's all right, no, 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 no. So I said, all right. He said, but I want to know you. And that one was sitting. He said, well, how was your day? See? And everything. Then I got overwhelmed with myself, and I said, but Master, we had a wonderful day. We always have a wonderful day in your presence. He says, I know that, but I want to know how they had. What did they have, see? So all this was taking place. And finally, John got off. And he got home. And he took better. Day by day, he got stronger and stronger. I guess knowing that he was safe and that he was not going to take that overland journey, something dropped off of him. And you imagine a 6'4" boy weighing 128 pounds? That's what he looked like. But when he left, he had gained about 5 pounds, and his face started to fill out a little bit or something. 5 pounds on a skinny one like that, it showed up. So we're waiting word from him now. Now, on the 12th of August, Malcolm Tillett was making all the recordings. We're going to have some wonderful recordings coming in for us. Beautiful darshan. Wonderful words of wisdom, you know. And Malcolm was making these recordings. And Master said to him, there's no more use. Stop making the tape recordings. You see how he was letting everybody know little by little? Stop, he says, it won't be necessary. He says, and besides, they will only be for the initiate. They will not be for the everyday people. And even the initiate, and what will they do with them, he said. In other words, they'll listen to them once and throw them on, say, put them on the side, forget about it. Who's going to continue listening to the beloved master? Right? Yes, well, you can put a mark on you there. Yeah. So then Malcolm came back the next day. We were all sitting there. And Master looked at him and says, well, how are you enjoying without all that contraption and all that, you know, all that equipment in front of your face and things like that? And this was strange. Malcolm says, Master, he says, for the first time in 9 months, I can enjoy your darshan. He says, I didn't realize it before. Fiddling with the equipment and concentrating what it was doing, whether it was picking up and putting in the tapes and taking out the tapes, he said, I didn't realize what I was missing. For the first time, he says, I thank you so much, he says, that he would go back. He had hundreds of tapes to transcribe, you know. Now, on the 14th of August, this was before Independence Day. We didn't know. None of us knew that it was Independence Day. There was Jim Alexander, this big boy, 6'6". And we're sitting there in darshan. And Master says, well, any questions? You know, come on, come on. Don't let it rattle around in your brains. Come on, ask questions, you know. He wanted to get everything out. He says, don't let it lurk there. Let it come out. So the boy said, Master,
that's the way he talks.
I am a student, and I came over here on a scholarship, a special scholarship to learn Hindi. And I have to go out, and I have to appear at some of these functions. And he says, Indira Gandhi is going to speak tomorrow. Tomorrow is Independence Day. The master looked at him and said, Independence Day? You know what that means, that you are independent. He says, you are bound by the senses, by the narrow canal of the body. He says, you're not free. You aren't independent. So he says, well, he says, thank you anyway for reminding me that it was Independence Day. He says, if I'd have known that you had that function, I would have gotten you a ticket. So the boy says, wow. Then Master says, well, I'll tell you what. We have a television here. You can watch it here. The boy goes, wow. Then he says, well, Indira Gandhi is going to speak, and I have to hear her speech. Master says, you will become more bound by that. If you listen to that, you will become more bound. And then he says, so he said something else. And Jim said another thing. The master said, listen, you are bound, but I'm not bound. You see? You are bound, but I'm not bound. I am free. Then the next day was the 15th of August, and Master gave the whole satsang on independence, what it was to be independent, you know, and what it was to be bound, and we are not free. We have nam that can make us independent. Independent means to be free of your thoughts, free from your mind, free from your bodily cages, all these things, and then you can be independent. Otherwise, you are bound. And that was sweet when he says, you are bound. I'm not bound. I am free, you know, like that. Now, the 16th of August, Master did not come down to satsang. He had taken a turn for the worse. The 19th of August, there was no darshan, and we were very empty, very empty. Then the 20th of August, up on the roof, our beloved, they told us, you know, Ram Swarup, Master's driver, he was with Master all night long. So what does the poor man know? He doesn't know anything. He sits there and he presses Master and he presses, or he was, Master wants a glass of water. But as far as heart conditions or things like that, he doesn't know anything. So Master collapsed twice. And he just collapsed. Then he got up again and he collapsed again. Now when they took him to the hospital, the 20th of August, he went to the hospital about 1 p.m. And they carried Master downstairs. And then they didn't know how to use the stretcher for the ambulance. So they had Master come in. They got him over where he sat in the car like this. And Taiji says, come on, Jari, everybody, come for darshan. And I was so bewildered, I didn't know where I was going. I said, what, who, where, what, where are you walking? Well, he said, over here, Mom, go this way. You're not going right, you know. But, oh, my God, am I dense? I must be losing my mind. And then I took one look at our beloved face, God, the guru. Oh, I got down and I said, God, guru, please heal yourself. Will you heal yourself? Because no one can heal you, no doctor, no physician in the world that can able to heal you. You have to heal yourself. And beloved's face was like this. And he just opened his eyes. And Isabel was right beside me. And he closed his eyes and she heard Master say, yes. And that was the finish.
What you say there?
Yes. You know. No. That was, they had taken his private car, the Mercedes, and wheeled that into his lobby, and also the ambulance. So they had him on the chair in the lobby, sitting there like this. and we all filing past. I don't know. It looked like a horde of locusts coming by to swap on sweet sugar cane, you know? And I thought to myself, oh, God, good old. Oh, my God, good old. Oh, Sasha, good old. I just want to tear pieces out of my head already. My beloved, look at the state of my beloved. We should bring him. We should bring him to a condition like this. We had the nerve to bring God. And I want to tell you all something. You know what he died of? A broken heart. That's right. Our master passed out of the coil, broken hearted. He says, this is what I came for. I came to give my children light, but they prefer to sit in darkness. What am I doing? And oh, yes. On the darshan, previous to this, someone said to our Sadhguru, why don't you heal yourself, Master? You are all powerful. And he looked and he says, why don't you heal yourself? If someone whom you love gives you a gift, what should you do? You accept it. He says, what would you do? Would you refuse it? You would accept it. And that's what we gave him. Our karmas, our wheels, our woes, our indignities, our indecencies, our petulances.
Did the master pass on a
mistake? No. I'm coming to that. Anyway, so we followed Master. It was very strange because there were other cars that went out, and what happened was our car, when Master's car, it went a longabout way. Because the other way, India is so polluted. The air is so polluted and so bad, and here, Master's riding along without an oxygen tank. You see? So he's breathing in, and he was up. And then he flashed back again. And he flashed up. And he flashed back because the pain must have been so horrendous. And then, when they came to the hospital, again they opened the door. And there's no stretcher. See, they don't have people like they have in this country. Come out with a stretcher and they take you and they wouldn't even let you lift one finger. Here, Master's sitting in the chair, and he can't get up. And they got a wheelchair, and they're trying to get him to get up. And the dignity of Master, he takes his turban that was in the back and places it on his head like a crown. I never saw anything so beautiful and so tender in my entire life that he should take his turban and place it upon his head. The dignity. And then afterwards, they got him in that chair, and then a wheelchair, and then they wheeled him in. Now, the funny part of it is, we came in, we wanted to see Master. We didn't care for nothing. They told us we weren't allowed. And I said, you can all go to hell with Master's blessings. I don't care. I am going because I'm going where my beloved is going. And Loie and I are not going to leave. We're just not going to leave. We're going to stay here. We're going to stay all night long. We're staying here. So we went in, and then we took a peek, and I saw Master's back. And would you believe it? He has the back of a 22-year-old athlete. So it's amazing. The body. You never saw the physical body. You always saw clothes and everything like this, and you never saw. But his body was like 22 years old. And when they took him there, then they said about 4 o'clock that he was responding and that we could all go home and things like that and get a night's rest. And so we went home, and then we came the next morning, and they said that Master was, he was better. And even Chopra, you know Chopra, came, and he came to me after it was all over, and he told me, he says, I asked Master in Hindi, how are you feeling, Maharaji? And he said, Oh, Bhattacharya, Bhattacharya. And that was just a few minutes before he left the body. And Bhattacharya in Hindi means wonderful. I feel wonderful. Sure, he felt wonderful. He was dropping a dirty old pair of shoes. You see? And so we came back the next day, and then we found out he was doing well, so we were so happy that we decided we'd go and eat something. So Cuckoo and Eileen, no, was Eileen? No, she wasn't there. She was out. Cuckoo and Cuckoo's sister and brother-in-law and Cuckoo's son and Loie and myself. Well, we went to this little place not far from the hospital. We ate. We came back, and they said, well, you know, no one's allowed to be here. So I said, I don't care what no one's allowed to be. I'm going to be here, and we're staying. So I said, I'm sitting on this chair, and I'm meditating. So with that, a whole lot of Indians were coming in. So I said, why are you talking? Why did you meditate? Nam is the only medicine. If we do Nam, that will be the medicine. So let's show Master that we are all loving and kind, and we're going in, and we're going to meditate. So we're sitting there, and we're meditating. Few things happen. On the inner, few things out, things like that. So at 4 o'clock, came out the report. He's not responding. And I thought to myself, oh no, this is not going to be it. This just can't be. Please, meditate. Then they came out, and they said, there's too many people here. They chased them all away. So they chased them on the other side. And he looked at me, and I says, so, all right. So they left us there. We stayed. And then, I said, I just don't feel good. Then we looked up, and Master's niece, I see her, she's... I said, Loie, I don't believe it. I just don't believe it. And then Master's nephew came to me, and he says, Astra, and he was holding his hands like this, and he's also a big man, and his hands went right to my lips. And he said, the doctor thumped Master's chest, and he's passed away. And I took his fingers, and I almost bit them off. I didn't realize I was doing it. He had to pull his fingers out of my mouth. I says, I don't believe it. Master is in Samadhi. Don't you remember the water, when Master fell in the water? He stayed a half hour on the bottom, he came up. What do they mean? They don't know. They don't know. Doctors don't know anything about this. Why don't you go and find out? He's in Samadhi. We'll go in. We'll find out. You know? Didn't do it. It wasn't but 10 minutes later. They had the stretcher. They had Master's beautiful coil on the stretcher. And they're running, and then all of a sudden they're starting to chant and they're going away. And Loie and I said, come on, look! And we're running. We're running, and I'm looking. And I looked at Master's face, and I want to tell you all, it was like it was shining silver. There was such a beautiful radiance coming out of his face. Was like shining silver. And then they put him in the ambulance, and there was some jumping up, touching his feet and things like that, and I says, oh, God, Guru. I told him, I said, tell him in Hindi, it's blasphemous. Don't do that. Stop touching him. Don't touch him. I was getting crazy, you know. And then Mungia's little wife, I call her Blossom, she jumped on me. I thought she was going through my chest, and we both, I said, it's not true. It's just not true. It's a bad dream. It's not true. I won't believe it. I don't believe it. You know? And we started to cry that every pore in our body shed a tear. Believe me. I mean to tell you that. Because to be there and to see it physically was... there's no words to describe it. Cuckoo, her eyes went back in her head. And, because they do that, you know. And somebody says, Cuckoo's fainted. I said, where's Cuckoo? Cuckoo, where's Cuckoo? So Indians, they don't care. You can faint, and they'll drop you right on the ground. They drop you right where you are, and they'll step on you and go. They don't know for nothing. And I says, my God, they'll trample her to death, Loie. And 160 pounds of dead weight, and you got two shrimps over here. Says, come on. I'll show you. Take her arm, put it around your shoulder, and